Flying Cool Tech 121, September 21, 2005. Hey y'all, I'm Larry Skudcon. We're here today at Cafe Lulu with Steve Gomez and Rob Meredith. Hope you'll join us for lunch while we chat about different technology things. Hey Steve.
Hey Larry, how are you today?
I'm great, man. How about yourself?
Good.
Hadn't seen you all day.
Yeah, it's been at least 15 minutes.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much. Well, just tell the listeners here.
Told them you've done this 121 times. That's pretty scary.
They're used to that. They can't keep up with me. Yeah, Steve's in Louisville today, and if any of you do not know who Steve is, he is the owner of and president of Springer Design, who APH works with, we work in conjunction to develop the book port, and he manufactures the book courier. So, but actually Steve's here, it's nothing related to any of that, just to get that off the plate right now. But I thought we'd chat with Steve about maybe the history of the book courier and book port, and yes, we'll ask him the question. What's the difference between the book port and the book courier, Steve? You knew I was going to ask that, because people want to know. And I did a whole podcast on it about a month ago or so.
They still want to know?
Yeah, and how could I possibly, I mean, I don't want to contradict what you might have said a month ago. But the difference between the book port and the book courier is the book port was designed specifically for APH with a substantial amount of APH's engineering input on the design of it. And the book courier was designed to be a simple, easy to use, accessible MP3 text-to-speech player for not only the visually impaired but also the learning disabled. So the general idea is that book port specifically designed for the visually impaired and sold to the visually impaired, and book courier's primary market is actually the learning disabled, where a lot of our customers are in fact visually impaired, but our main market is the learning disabled.
Okay.
So
fair enough. And then that's all you have to say about it? Or could you go on for 3 days?
I could go on probably as long as you want. You know, I've done this isn't a trade show booth, but I could give you the whole spiel and sit here and talk to you for the next half hour. How many do you want to buy?
I already have one.
So then I probably don't have a whole lot more to say about it.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. What about the history of this thing?
The Bookport Book Courier is a second generation of a device that we developed about 5 or 6 years ago called the Roadrunner.
Sweet tea. At 12 o'clock. I'm
Well, thank you. Apricot sweet tea at that.
Do you need a few minutes?
See, I know what I want. Do you guys?
Yeah, I know what I want. What do you want, Rob?
What you guys get?
Well, I was going to go for the special with no mushrooms.
The special didn't have any meat in it, though, did it?
No, it didn't. Sorry, Larry. Well, yeah. It's got seafood.
Oh, crab meat. That's right.
You can get chicken, or you can get shrimp instead if you don't want
to. Yeah, I'm going to have lunch.
I'm going to go for a meatball calzone.
All right. That's meaty.
Yeah.
You get meatballs in there, I guess.
Probably the crab's a little better.
Yeah.
Rob?
I'll take the chicken parmesan sandwich.
And you get your choice of either pasta salad or coleslaw. The pasta salad's Mediterranean, a little on the spicy side. Coleslaw's a little sweet.
What's coleslaw?
Okay. Would you like bread with your pasta?
Yes.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
That's
some good apricot tea. As far as apricot tea goes.
So anyway, to finish the story, we had developed the Roadrunner. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Springer Design started out as a consulting company about, getting close to 20 years ago, where we did development on embedded systems, device drivers for Windows and DOS-based PCs, and did a lot of what they call reference designs for semiconductor companies.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and actually the original Roadrunner came out as a guy came up to us and said, hey, can you build me a battery-powered portable text-to-speech player? And
is some guy off the street?
No, it was a previous customer.
Oh, okay.
And we said, sure, we can do anything. And so we proceeded to sit down and design it. And he was providing a lot of input, and we couldn't get anywhere. So myself and Randy Carlstrom from RC Systems basically finished the design of the Roadrunner while this guy was off chatting in the corner to himself. And we built the Roadrunner. And his original goal was to sell it to people that listen to books on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered early on that there was a much larger market, initial market in the blind community. So we started selling Roadrunners to visually impaired and got hooked up with Larry was one of our first beta testers.
Oh, I got a funny story about that, too. Do you remember the first unit was a real long, skinny pistol grip kind of thing? And it
right,
had
with
the
cording keyboard.
Yeah, and it had the four arrows that stuck out on the top.
Right.
Well, I used to carry that in my pocket. And I had a German Shepherd at the time, and he had this habit of coming by you and whacking you with his nose. Well, he'd hit that thing and hit one of those arrows, and man, I'd sail off into some other book. It was pretty funny, so I was glad to see those arrows go.
Yeah, well, that was part of the original design, was that the guy wanted to do this cording keyboard so it could also be a note taker, and and ultimately what it came back to was is it was almost a Braille keyboard, but not quite.
It was an interesting design.
So anyway, we went through and built the Roadrunner for a while, and then we started building the Talking Bibles, and this was all a sideline for my company, with the main business of the company was consulting in the device drivers and embedded systems world. And then the dot-com crash occurred in like 2001, and basically all of our consulting business evaporated over a period of 3 days. Literally,
wow.
We had 6 different jobs going on Friday and Monday. All but one of our customers had called and said, we're canceling all of our projects. And at the time, we were actually working on the Book Courier book port design. And so what we ended up doing was saying, okay, well, we're just going to put all of our focus on doing assistive technology with the book port and the Book Courier. And that's where we've been ever since.
Well, maybe that dot-com crash had some good implications for blind and visually impaired people then.
Yeah, and it actually worked out well for us because now we're selling book ports and book couriers, lots of them, and people seem to be happy with them. And,
yeah.
You know, I can keep everybody at the company gainfully employed and working on stuff.
Yeah, well, I think we keep a couple of them busy just on our stuff there.
Yep, that's true. Book port does consume a lot of resources right now.
Yeah, we're constantly trying to keep that thing improved as people on the book board let us know. So that's funny. Back when I was beta testing this thing, of course I had no idea who you were at all, because this was back, what, in the 90s?
Yeah, I think it was, we started this in 96 or 97.
If we could get a poster.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, almost 10 years ago.
So I guess it's products that have legs, but then we're all getting old, too.
So what do you see as the biggest issues right now with Book Courier, Book Port? I know, for instance, you know, when we were, in quotes, because really it was you that was designing the hardware on this, but... You know, I remember when this was in the design process, USB was a very new thing. And I know we take a lot of heat on the list right now for not having a USB 2.0. But at the time, there was no such thing.
Well, when we were originally designing the Book Port Book Courier, USB 2.0, the specification had just been approved. Sorry, Jake, didn't mean to step on your head.
That's all right.
And there was no real silicon available. I mean, there were no chips, processor chips or anything available that supported USB 2.0 when we were working on the design.
Oh.
And when you look at the Book Courier, it's not a high volume product when you consider, you know, when you compare it to an iPod or a Creative Zen or something like that. You know, they sell hundreds of thousands and we sell thousands. So we don't have the advantage of being able to go off and design our own silicon that does it just the way we want. So we're, our choices is to, you know, buy what's off the shelf and things that we can readily purchase and integrate into the product. So 1.1 was the way to go with USB because that was all that was available at the time that we designed all of this 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So yes, we take a lot of hits about the transfer rates too.
Yeah. Any other big issues that?
Actually, our biggest issue in the learning disabled environment is double talk.
Yeah.
While double talk and deck talk and Eloquence are all great text-to-speech synthesizers, people that don't listen to them every day, the first time they hear them, they don't like it. They don't like it at all. So they want, you know, they say, well, what about those AT&T natural voices or the Neo speech engines? Well, those are all fine and great, but they require a full-blown computer in order to run. We can't put that into your hand and run it on two AA batteries. So what we're doing with the Book Courier is we're actually doing text-to-speech conversion on the PC and saving it as a digital audio file so that people that don't want to listen to double talk don't have to.
We're actually thinking about adding that feature into Bookport Transfer, too. I don't know if we're... I guess we need to seriously consider it, but it doesn't seem like we get much of a call for it, do we?
I think in the visually impaired world, you don't, because everybody likes the text-to-speech engines that are out there.
Yeah. Well, we get complaints about double talk, too.
Yeah, but they want deck talk or Eloquence. Yeah.
You know, I think... I should say this, you guys probably both already know this, but for the benefit of our listeners, we took a survey on the Bookport list about favorite text-to-speech engines, and the three leading contenders were DoubleTalk, DeckTalk, and Eloquence, and they were pretty much neck and neck.
Yeah.
And that surprised me a little bit. I would have thought that Eloquence would have been way out ahead, just simply because
I think it did win, but it was only a couple of points.
Yeah.
Right, and it's difficult for us to sit down and look at what, if in the future we were to change the text-to-speech engine, which one are you going to pick? Well, we know that we're going to make 66% of the people unhappy.
Right. Exactly.
No matter what we do.
Well, the thing I like about DoubleTalk, though, is it's all hardware-based, and it seems like, I don't know, this might not be true, but it seems like you're using less of the computer's resources to drive it. Is that a fact?
Well, yeah, the difference, I mean, this measured in battery life, if all you listened to was DoubleTalk, you'd probably get 80 hours out of a set of AA batteries with your book port. Whereas if you listen to MP3 files, it's going to be more like, you know, 30 or 40.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it uses substantially less resources.
Well, thank you, man. Okay. So, Rob, what else... in the interest of our listeners or our Blind Cool Tech listeners, do we need to ask about Book Courier and Book Four? No, for those of y'all that don't know, too, Rob's the head developer on our Book Port efforts at APH, so he knows.
Yeah, I was. Did you do something about those brakes, Larry?
That's Jake, man.
Presented with an interesting challenge back in late 2002. Because I heard about the book port. Actually, I don't even know what we called it. We didn't call it a book port back then.
What did we call it?
I've got that. I've got a couple of places. There's.
Don't say the W one either.
No, I wasn't going to. There was text port.
Yeah, we had a couple of different names.
There was another one. I'd have to look. I've actually got it on my computer. I'd have to go back and look.
But by the time I got on board, I mean, I was just hearing about it. By the time I got on board, it was definitely Bookport. But I had to set it up so in case we changed the name of the product, I could easily change it in the code. So it's not hard-coded in there all over the place. And Larry said, I'd like to do this in a month.
Yeah.
You did it though, didn't you?
I think in the net we had a lot more time than a month, but we got quite a bit done in a month. We had it running, we were showing it at shows, and it was going pretty well.
Yeah, because we were showing the prototypes at CSUN in what, 2002?
2003.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because that was 3 months before it came out.
Right, because, yeah, we were showing it there, and then we didn't start shipping until July.
And I don't know if you guys showed it at Closing the Gap or not.
I don't remember either. But
I know I was showing Book Couriers at Closing the Gap.
Are you?
I saw our software.
Yeah.
That's right. We had the software there, because I remember showing it to you, yeah.
So it was quite a quick... And it's a very... multiple component, multi-programmer developer system. It's the most interdependent product we've ever worked on. We have to rely on Springer Design. We rely on our products like Book Wizard and our audio components to all work together to put on the show that's known as Book Tour. So I had to work a lot with Keith and get... the digital talking book situation under control. I had to work a lot with myself and get the digital audio part under control.
And sometimes that can be confusing.
And I had to work with Steve and get the actual communication with that device under control. So it's quite the product, and done quickly for what it was.
Well, and I have to laugh too, because
most of it.
All right, that was fast.
Meatball calzone.
Thank you.
See, now Blank Cool Tech knows that Steve doesn't like mushrooms.
I don't like him either, so he's on the right track.
I have to laugh too, because when we were developing this thing, one of the things that came up was we had this 250 megabyte MP3 file size limit.
Yeah, but who needed bigger than 256
right.
megabyte MP3?
Famous quotes. But I mean, I think people already know that we're about to break that barrier, so it won't hurt to tell them that that's going to be history soon. I mean,
yeah.
I think we've told them that on the list already anyway. So that was just kind of an interesting little piece of trivia, how big files have grown just in the last couple of years.
Well, keep in mind that when we had originally developed the product, that the biggest compact flash card you could buy was 3 gigabytes, and that cost in the order of $900.
Wow.
At the time, a 256 megabyte MP or a 256 megabyte compact flash card cost $500.
Well, and we were initially going to ship these with 16 megabyte cards, weren't we? Or was it 32?
We were initially going to ship with 16, and then we went to 32, and by the time we actually started shipping, it was at 64.
Yeah, and now we're...
And I,
well, thank you, Steve.
I got my very first and still works 256 card for Bookport development. In, I forget if it was late 2002 or early 2003, and it was, I think we only gave about 70 for that.
And today we just ordered 2 4-gig cards. They were what, 280 a piece, 290?
They're pretty pricey. I think we got them for 270, I can't remember exactly, but we saw a variety of prices on them. They were anywhere just under 300 down to maybe the 270 range.
But then that would imply that Bookport's going to support 4-gig cards.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, we might have been just ordering them for other things, though.
Yeah, like our digital cameras that we use every day.
Our high-res digital cameras.
Yeah, right.
I always wonder what visually impaired people use digital cameras for.
I use this one on my phone quite a bit.
What?
Intentionally?
Yeah.
You just bump it.
Like, I got the cutest picture of my granddaughter the other day. We were got this little pool thing for her, put out on the patio, and she stripped off all her clothes. And I was watering the garden, and she was over there playing in the sprinkler naked.
So it's, and it turned really out using it for pornography.
It was, turned out to be the cutest picture. The sun's kind of shining just right, you know. And I've got this media center computer at home, and I show the slideshow.
Someone took mine, and I grabbed it, so that's the one I grabbed.
Okay, that's cool.
He's making it over. We'll take a sack. Okay. Do you want me to cut that for you?
No, thanks.
Okay.
I know that I would personally, I don't have a digital camera, but if I did, I would probably use it to zoom in and look at appliances and try to read the stuff on them.
Yeah, you were using something.
I was using the cell phone to do that for a little while.
Yeah.
And with moderate success. It's really too blurry. It's too grainy. I can't get the right focus with the cell phone in all situations, but it can be an assistant.
Isn't that cool?
Tight spot.
Say, so why doesn't somebody come up with a product that does that?
I wish they would.
Steve.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you sit down and think about it, it's not that tough to do. If you were to sit down and do a little headband for the LCD and, wow. Sounds like something that you could put on quota for APH.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could. Isn't there a thing called a Jordy that already does something like that, though?
I don't know.
It's kind of expensive, though.
Well, but, I mean, you could almost go out and spend $100 because you don't even need a high-res camera. I mean, a 2-megapixel camera would work.
Yeah.
And all you need is some good optical zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can just think about it. Rob would look great because we could put a little thing, a little hat on his head with the flip-down LCD that he could look at. Have the camera, have the camera lens come out the front of the hat.
One thing I was going to ask you about too, Steve. You were
thank you.
You were mentioning, you know, about the courier Bible. What do you see as
the Bible courier,
yeah,
or the book courier with the Bible in it? There's a difference.
Yeah, the Bible courier's separate.
The Bible courier is basically just the Roadrunner talking Bible from 4 years ago that we just resurrected because we have a Lutheran Braille Evangelism in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, sells these things and sells them and gives them away.
Uh-huh.
And we just did them for him. We're actually doing, we have content available for the book courier, pre-canned Bibles that we're going to be basically just put on our website to give away. You know, people can download them. We can probably do the same thing for... there's still mushrooms in here. We can probably do the same thing for...
can't get rid of them.
Can't get rid of them. We can probably do the same thing for the book court, too. They're just, you know, set up so that you can do full navigation on them. So, but anyway...
But people like this Bible courier because it's, they don't have to load things to it. And...
Right, it's a standalone... digital talking Bible that fits in your shirt pocket.
Well, my question is there a, do you think there's a market for a standalone like dictionary and encyclopedia like that too?
Probably. I mean, if you sit down and look at what Franklin does with their stuff.
That's true.
I mean, all you're doing is taking what Franklin does and making it accessible. So...
Well, that's a good point. They do exactly that, don't they? It seems like, you know, now that you've got Wikipedia and all these accessible dictionaries and encyclopedias out there, there doesn't seem to be such a need for it. But, you know, you actually buy a CD on, I mean, an encyclopedia on CD, and it's not all that accessible. Or were you aware of that?
No, I was aware of that. The challenges that come down to a portable is how do you search? You know, unless you have a full-blown keyboard,
yeah,
searching becomes problematic, you know, because you do the cell phone thing of, you know, spelling a word, and, you know, where you got ABC on one and DEF on the next, on two.
Well,
you know, that's kind of the challenge with that.
Of course, we've got that whipped on BookCore with the Braille search capability, if you know Braille.
Right. So, I mean, I don't, from a content standpoint, it's just a matter of formatting it upright, and you're ready to go. So,
Were you guys surprised at how successful Book Courier was, or did you foresee that?
Well, are you asking Steve the optimist or Steve the pessimist?
Steve probably had to be optimistic.
Yeah, because I basically developed this all on my own dime.
Right, that's your product, so you're certainly not going to...
We had expectations that the sales were going to be higher in the learning disability market, but then we found out that, you know, making the decision to not put a display on it became a liability in the... Because in the learning disabled market, the teachers are the ones using it a lot.
Uh-huh.
And teachers, you know, people are either... People can learn by reading or by listening, and most people actually are visual learners.
Yeah.
And the display became an important thing. And if we would have included a display, I think on the original Book Courier, we would have sold a lot more into that market.
Hmm. And what about you, Rob?
I was surprised. I personally don't do a whole lot of leisure reading. I have found all kinds of uses for the book board that I wouldn't have really thought of. I don't use mine nearly as much as probably people on the list use theirs, but, and with that in mind, it did surprise me that we sold so many of them. I kept thinking, oh, this is kind of a niche product. Yeah, once we sell the first batch of avid readers, you know, what are we going to do? You know, it's going to be really rough. But I continue to be amazed at the popularity of this extremely popular product for our area. This is probably one of the most popular products the technology area sells.
Well, I think the strongest points right now is all of the different content that's coming out that Bookport supports. I mean, if you're an RFP and D reader, your choice is to sit in front of your computer or buy one of the Victor readers or the Plex store. The advantage of the Book Courier, Bookport, is that it not only does it read the RFB and D-based CD content, you can also read stuff from Bookshare, from Audible.com, plain old text files you generate on your machine. I mean, you're offered such a wide variety of content.
Well, and now with podcasts.
Yeah, and podcasts.
You know, I find myself using this as a printer. So if I have a meeting to go to, I'll just throw the agenda on it.
Yeah.
And the
everything's great.
Oh, most delicious. I also find that note taker on there to be such a cool feature, because a lot of times what I'll do is just take my card out and put it in the reader to transfer like podcasts over or whatever. And if I have a text file or something I want to work on, I just copy it over to the notes folder without sending it through Bookport Transfer. And, it's great because you can edit it, read it. And, you know, I just had a comment from somebody the other day talking about when they scan a book, they like to be able to edit it. And I need to answer them and say that that's the perfect way to do it. Just read it from the notes folder. And when you see a mistake while you're reading, just fix it right then and there if you want to, or set a bookmark or whatever.
Cool. Add the feature to the transfer tool so that you can transfer the books back and forth, so that the guy can take a raw scanned book, dump it into the notes folder, go in, read it, edit it, and then have the transfer software bring it back up.
Actually, we do have that. We have full note synchronization from source location. So once you go to the properties on that file on the device, you can say, yeah, I want to synchronize this file. And if it's already on the PC, you know, if you sent it from the PC originally, it knows where it is. If it wasn't, it'll ask you where you want to synchronize it with. And from that point on, you can edit it on either side, and it keeps it up to date on both sides.
Well, and what's,
there you go.
What's really cool about that, too, is
that was a crazy feature when he asked me to put it in.
Yeah, but everything Larry asked us to do, we think it's a crazy feature. So.
What's really cool about that, though, is that if you're like me and you've got these files that you have at work and at home, this is the perfect way to keep and on your book port, because you can set up a separate synchronization with your home and your work computer. So no matter where you change it, it's going to stay up to date without you having to deal with it. You know, I used to have to remember that. Oh yeah, I've changed my address file. I got to make sure I updated at work.
Well, more importantly, is what's the most up to date address file—the one at work or the one at home?
Yeah, exactly. How's that sandwich, Big R? Pretty good.
Yeah, good. It's pretty good.
And what about the crab?
Oh, the pasta's great.
Yeah? You like those mushrooms?
No, I don't. They took them out. That was nice of them.
Yeah, synchronization was one of those features where we started talking about that, and I was just saying, dude, what now? How are we going to do that? And I finally said, just tell me exactly what you wanted to do, and I'll get it to do it, because I can't figure out.
So don't you just base it off of the date and time and whoever's newer?
What I meant was, like, we're going to have a specific folder on the PC where they all have to be synchronized to.
Which we don't.
What about it? Right. Which we decided not to do it that way. What if you have multiple machines? How are we going to... What if you have used multiple cards? You know, all the issues that come up with synchronization. And we sort of had to work through all that, didn't it? And now we have it, so it'll tell you the direction it's going to go. It builds a list of all the things it's going to do. And it presents you that list and says, this one's going to go to the device, this one's going to go from, or this one we don't know, you need to decide. Because, you know, both dates are different. And then you have a chance to either remove that from the list just by tapping delete, I believe.
Space doesn't toggle it, I think, didn't it?
Could be, yeah.
Obviously, I don't do that very often. Or you.
Or you you can just press enter to pick what the software do its best with the decisions it made based on the synchronization. So I actually wound up liking the feature after it was done, but I was on short going in. Actually, I don't use that feature. I probably should, but...
Oh, I use that all the time. That is so cool.
You know the downside of eating outside here today, Larry?
What downside could there possibly be?
All the little flies flying around.
Hey. Oh, I knew you'd come up with some.
Well, it's just the engineer in me, you know?
There's that, too. Might actually be quiet inside today. Man, this thing is cheesy.
What now?
This calzone is very cheesy.
Yeah? What'd you get in it?
Meatball.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You needed meat. Didn't want to have the old meat pizza again today.
I almost got a 10-inch pepperoni. It's very tempting, but there's plenty of pizza in my immediate future, so I better just relax.
So Big R is going on vacation tomorrow.
Yeah, that's where the... That usually opens up too many pizza opportunities when you're on vacation.
So what's your vacation plans, Rob?
I call this a local vacation where I just sort of hang out and do things that have to be done and take a break.
Rich is coming in, what, tonight or tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, tomorrow. And, I have some errands to run and some time to waste.
A relaxing vacation, huh?
Right.
Man, this weekend, you know, I can get back from Dallas till late Friday night. Had Saturday, and then Saturday night I got this toothache, so I kind of considered Sunday a total wash.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for this next weekend already.
Yeah.
We were just talking a minute ago, too, about microphones. And what did you say you used, the SM57?
Yeah, that's from like 20 years ago when I played in a band and did sound reinforcement. It's like the SM57 worked for everything. You could mic the drum, you could mic the guitar, you could mic the bass, you could mic the vocalist.
And it's still around.
And it's still worked and still around, and they're cheap.
Yeah, relatively. I haven't priced one lately, but...
I think retail price is like $250, but... I don't know if you have guitar centers around here in Louisville, but West Coast are real prevalent. And you can go to Guitar Center, they have the Sunday sale. And you can go in and, you know, like buy 27 sets of guitar strings for $10 and, you know, buy one Shure SM57 and get two free and, you know, feels like that all the time. Well, that's where I found that that mixing board that I got. That you bought, the MG10, the Yamaha MG10.
What did you pay for it?
$99.95.
Well, that's what I got it for here locally, not on sale.
Well, I think that's the standard price.
Yeah.
It's a good little mixer.
It is very nice.
It's interesting to watch how these things have evolved in the last 5 years. Probably would have been more interesting if I was actually watching, but 5 years ago, you couldn't find a lot of cheap mixers, you know, inexpensive, decent mixers.
No.
There seems to be a whole rash of these now lately.
When 20 some years ago, I think that I had purchased a stereo 8-channel mixer that was a 19-inch rack mount deal, and I think I paid close to $1,000 for it.
Oh wow.
And that was kind of the, you know, middle of the road type of thing.
Yeah.
So I was completely amazed when I went down there looking for, I thought I was going to buy some USB mixer thing for my computer, and the guy showed me that one for $100 and I'm like, sold.
Thank you. Sold. Man, it is noisy out here.
It's really noisy. I tried to tell you that yesterday, Larry.
No.
It was noisier inside, though.
Not now.
Oh, really?
And Rob bought a, what kind of microphone was it?
The Rode NT1A. We, at some point, may do a show about microphones and let everybody hear the various microphones that we have access to. It's kind of tricky to do a show like that, though, because, number one, we can't do it terribly scientifically because we don't have a lot of measuring equipment. Number two, the more scientifically we do it, the more bored people would be.
Right.
And number three, this is only going to apply, I think, to a narrow group of people. And you know, microphones at a glance sound very similar. You really have to spend time with one and listen to it, you know, compared to others to really tell the subtleties and the differences.
And a lot of variety of situations, too, I guess.
And the other problem is none of us are microphone experts. So we're just kind of learning as we go.
Where are you going, Jake?
Come on, Jake. Another dog.
Sit down.
Two more dogs.
Yeah, we've got a dog over here.
I know. Two more blind people.
No.
Those are dogs.
Somebody yelling?
Gotcha.
So, sorry, Rob.
So, once we get a chance and familiarize ourselves with some more of these microphones in detail, we may, we're considering putting together a show. We also like to do a show on this new rash of compact flash based portable wave MP3 recorders. And I find those really fascinating personally. They have a lot of drawbacks, but if you need uncompressed audio in a pinch, you can get it now and you can carry it in your pocket. And you can do a pretty good job with the one we have, and we're hoping to get another one in shortly. So we may put together at some point some reviews on those.
Yeah, you did two of those mystery sounds with that, didn't you?
I believe so, yeah, sure did.
Mystery sounds? Yeah. Didn't they have an I Love Lucy where they did a mystery song and she won?
I missed that one. One of the things we do on this show is have a mystery sound. It's just a couple seconds long usually.
Yeah.
See if people can guess what it is. So Rob made one of a his grill. And that, you know, a butane.
Propane grill.
Propane, yeah. Lighting with the electric lighter. It took a while for people to realize what it was.
Yeah, it was a noisy day, so I had to edit it down very tight. And out of context, it's kind of hard to tell what it was.
Oh no, that sounds like it could be fun. I'm gonna have to start recording sounds for you guys.
Yeah. Well, we're having a ball with it, or I am. I've gone overboard.
I guess easily entertained.
Yeah. People are kidding me. My new motto is life is a podcast. You haven't checked out my podcast yet, have you, Steve?
Katie has.
Oh, really?
What for?
Somebody was talking about it. So she went and looked.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell her, we're up to 121 now, and we're on it.
Yeah, you're on. Yeah, have her listen.
Now I have enough things to keep me busy. Generally, when I have spare time, work isn't one of the things that I do.
Yeah, see, that's a funny thing about this. I'm not really considering it work. It's been kind of fun. In fact, a lady sent me a file this morning, an audio file from the UK. And one of the things we do on this show is what they call sound seeing tours.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll go with the family to the zoo or the Fraser Arms Museum or whatever and just turn on the recorder and get to take people with us. Well, she's got some touristy places in the UK that she's going to send in.
Oh, that's great.
It is. It's kind of a neat way to see different things. We had a guy from Vienna, Austria do one about the public transportation system there. It's kind of interesting.
Huh. Oh, you must be talking about...
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah. That's always interesting is people that own both a book court and a book courier, and they use them for different things.
Yeah.
Mike's one of those guys.
I don't think he has a book port. Peter Rand has got one. I don't think Mike's got one.
You don't think Mike has both?
I'm pretty sure he does. I'll bet he'll call into the comment line and get us straight on that after he hears this. I'll let you know.
You can just edit it out.
It surprises me that people have that. There are some out there. That's, I guess, the best way to figure out which product you like better, if you can afford to buy all of them.
I have both.
Yeah, but you're just spying on us. That's the reason you have
industrial espionage.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't spying. I just wanted to see if you had something in there that we could steal.
Well, now wait a minute. Let me see. What's the definition of spying?
You know I wouldn't do that, Steve.
I know. I'm just giving you grief, Larry. Got to get entertainment where I can.
Well, I guess we should go ahead and end this short little cast. But glad you guys could join us for a little bit of lunch with a couple of celebrities in the book court world here.
Call into the comment line and give us your favorite microphone.
Hey, good idea, Rob. What was the... Did you tell him what the model... Yeah, you did. Yeah, okay. And the comment line number is 206-984-9203. You can email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com or check us out on the web at blindcooltech.com. Anything you want to say, Steve? Tell them.
No, about. Thanks for lunch today, Larry. Or wait, maybe I'm buying lunch.
Hey, that's a better idea.
Thought it would be.
Well, thank you in that case.
You're welcome.